Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sweet presence in our midst, your tangible presence. Thank you. It's not everywhere that is available. We're aware of that. For you inhabit the praises of Israel, and we're grateful. As we go into the word, we ask that same tangible presence not only go with us, but increase. So to come and open the word, Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let this word, as I have said early on, build us up, Lord God, and help us to grow into the fullness of Christ. And on the way there, Lord, to meet every need, every challenge that we might face, that indeed our profiting will appear unto all. I pray for fresh revelation in the hearts of all those who hear me, Lord God. I pray for the fruit of the Spirit to temper our emotions, Lord God. I pray as I speak, there will be a release of your power, for your Bible tells us that you sent your word and healed them and you delivered them from their destructions. Let there be healing, let there be deliverance for those who need them as the word goes forth, Lord God. And we pray you will help me, have mercy on me to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed, unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer, all agreed with me and said, amen. Amen. Amen doesn't mean amen. It means so be it. It's actually a prayer of two things. It's a prayer of agreement, you know, and it's a prayer of unity. Bible says where two or three are gathered together and they agree. So I said it, you said it, and the Bible says it shall be done. So for all the prayers I mentioned, everybody here said amen. Amen. The School of Perfection, we're teaching on Christian perfection, which is the purpose of God for this third day. Third day speaks of the third millennium from the birth of Christ, which actually took place in about 5 BC. I actually did a check on this. You know, I've known that for years, but, you know, it's always good to check again. You know, I asked ChatGPT. The reason why the AI has its ups and downs. The AI is good because it has access to all the information on the internet, which you don't have now. We don't have the time to check. So, you know, that's why it's good. But it also can be bad because it doesn't know everything. And if you don't know what you're asking it, it can give you funny answers. So I asked it. So it said, all scholars agree that Christ was born somewhere between 4 and 6 BC. So I took the average, 5. Not only that, it was in 1995 we experienced, I remember our convention, there was a manifestation that I haven't seen anything like that. And I believe God did that to let us know we entered the third day. And it was that time I started preaching all these messages on perfection. You know, I've been preaching them for some years, you know, the landmark messages. They all, you know, the 1995 was a landmark here, you know, and that's because we entered into the third day. Now, the third day from the birth of Christ, not the third day from the maturity of Christ. I'll be talking more about this during my New Year message. You know, I have a fresh understanding. I actually preached this also some weeks ago here in church. You know, when it comes to giving life back to the church, you count from the third day from the birth of Christ. When it comes to raising up, you count from the third day from the, not the resurrection. You see, when was Jesus raised up? Yes, he was raised up by the resurrection, but he was also raised up when he got the Spirit without measure, which is at the age of 30. That was when all Israel got to know who he was. The Bible says the fame of him spread throughout the whole place. So we start counting from there. You know, so that will bring us to 2025. And I believe that it's from then we can start expecting the manifestation of the glory. So these years that are here now are years of prep, you know. So we're ready, but we're not as ready as we thought we were. Hello. And like the Lord told me, said, you have to thank me. It didn't happen. He said, so I was sharing with them yesterday in prayer intercessory school. So many of us aren't ready. Not ready at all. You know, I'll talk more about that in my New Year message. So Perfection is a spiritual condition in which the residual sin nature in the soul and body have been totally cleansed out by the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, according to 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises daily, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And this is the purpose of Christianity. Jesus died not only to get us saved and take us to heaven, but to so that we become like him. This is the purpose, according to Romans 8:29, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. Ephesians 4 tells us that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for this purpose, the perfecting of the saints of the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till it has a goal. We come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in some things. No, in all things. You know, those scriptures are watertight. When your unbelief wants to go one way, one of them will block you. It goes the other way, the other one will block you. You know, that's why you need to have a comprehensive knowledge of God's word. So that's very important. We are now on the third day from the birth of Christ, like I said, and we're about to enter in 2025 and onwards, you know, the third day from the glory of Christ, if you can call it that. The Bible says this is the beginning of miracles. It started when he was 30 years old. And so our beginning of miracles is going to correspond to that. You know, it makes so much sense. It's so clear, you know. So all the things we've been preaching, prophecy, everything, you know, it's true. But there's a time shift. And it's because, you see, God knows everything. And he's so wise, he knew we weren't ready. He's not getting us ready since 1995. Here we are, 20 how many years later, and we're still working on it. Well, it shouldn't be any surprise because it took Jesus 30 years. So, makes sense. You know, even though it's collective, you know, it makes sense that, you know, it would take the corporate church 30 years from the revelation of perfection into the experience of it. Anyway, come for the New Year message. Don't let me get off on that. So, we're in the third day. So, in this third day, we to grow into perfection. And when we do, and it's at two levels, we go cleansing, perfection, the sin nature is removed from the soul and body. Then, in that condition of perfection, we're supposed to grow into maturity in that condition of perfection. And like Jesus did at the age of 30, so Jesus was born perfect. Perfect there doesn't means that he didn't have any sin nature in him. And then, but he didn't have miracles immediately. The Bible says he grew in wisdom and in stature. That's what we're doing. That's what we've been doing these 30 years, you know. And then at the age of 30, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him. Now, he had the Holy Spirit before. So he's talking about a measure of the Spirit he didn't have, which is what we call the Spirit without measure. And then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was tempted. In every like as we are with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, he overcame all those temptations. The Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit, and then he begins this wonderful, miraculous ministry, you know, starting from the turning of water to wine in Cana of Galilee. So we're following the same pattern. Jesus is the pattern, you know, and we are supposed to use the blood, the word, and the Spirit to do these same things. We, first of all, use them to remove the sin nature. I shared about this on Sunday. I was talking about overcoming sin and condemnation. And, you know, it makes absolute sense. You know, when we read the Bible, because of the sin nature in our mind, it beclouds a lot of things. Watch this. I said it on Sunday, but I'm going to say it in a way that maybe I didn't say it on Sunday. Paul said, you know, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. He said, if therefore, it's no more me who does it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. So if it's not me who does it, then why should I be condemned? That is why there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Because I didn't say it wasn't done, but it was not my spirit that did it. It was a sin nature in my flesh. So I don't condemn my spirit. I don't condemn myself. I condemn the sin nature in my soul and in my body. Not only that, I crucify them and then I cleanse them out. Makes absolute sense. We've been roaming through Romans for 2,000 years. You know? When you look at it, it flows from chapter 7. It is no more I that do it. So if it's not me who does it, then why should I be condemned? That is why there is therefore now no condemnation. I didn't emphasize this on Sunday, so I'll just use the opportunity now to say it is crucial to use the blood of Jesus, you know, in faith, not like a talisman that you put on the car and the radio and the expressway and everywhere. That's not what it's for. The purpose of the blood of Jesus is twofold. One, to remove the sin nature, which I talked about. But this second part I didn't emphasize. I mentioned it glancingly, but I want to do it now. And also to remove guilt. It is only the blood of Jesus that can purge your conscience from guilt, which is what brings condemnation. See, the man who understands and uses the blood of Jesus can commit a sin now. He's not going to deliberately do it, of course, you know. And 2 minutes later, he's not even thinking about it. It's not affecting him. You know why? There's therefore now no condemnation. And the blood removes the guilty conscience. It's very important. Very, very important. You must understand. Give me Hebrews. I think it's chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 16, somewhere in there. You know, Hebrews, like I said so many times over the years, what would we do without Hebrews? What a book. And God made sure Paul wrote it and slipped it in. Because it's the last one, you know, of the Pauline Revelation. Imagine the whole New Testament without Hebrews. You understand so many things. Okay, everybody, let's read together. Say, how much more? I did not hear you. Shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your what? Conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Without the blood, you will have a guilty conscience. Without the cleansing of the blood. See, that's why it's very wrong. I don't know if I can use the word wrong. It's incomplete. It's a better word to use. It is incomplete. Just say, Father, I confess my sins. It gives you a sin consciousness. But if you say, Father, I confess my sins to clean with the blood, then that removes, it gives you a righteous consciousness, and it also removes the guilt of sin. But most Christians don't do that. All they just say is, Father, I confess my sins. Father, I confess my sins doesn't cut it. It's not complete. Or if you use the more efficient version and say, Lord, have mercy on us. That's why I pray it like that. So we receive your blood to cleanse us. I emphasize that, from all unrighteousness. And then we receive your life and your power as we pray. You're now operating in right standing and without any guilt, without any condemnation. And then you can pray properly. The righteous are as bold as a lion. But if you have at the back of your mind a guilty conscience, it's going to hinder your faith operation. That's why God gave us the blood of Jesus. Let me give you some other scripture. I should actually say all this on Sunday. I probably will repeat it sometime on Sunday when I have the opportunity. Hebrews 13. What would we do without Hebrews? Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Who's still on my side? Good. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. This guy's upstairs need a prayer. Okay. 20, exactly. Now the God of the peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, next verse, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that is worth pleasing in his sight. That blood, it cleanses not only the block that sin causes, it cleanses the condemnation and the guilt. So, he can perfect in you every good work. You know, Pastor G, Satan sold us a dummy. He always does that anyway, because he knows we don't know. You know, he's more afraid of us than we are of him. And he's always trying, and he's very smart. You know, most Christians don't realize, Of course, we're smarter. Not in ourselves, but in the Holy Spirit. It says that we might show unto principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. So through the Holy Spirit, we're smarter than Satan. But otherwise, the Bible says he sums up the sum of wisdom. He knows the Bible better than you. So you know what he told us? Use the blood for inanimate things. So it will obscure and blind you from the true use of the blood. The purpose of the blood is not for protection. The purpose of the blood is to cleanse the block, any blockage that happens when you commit acts of sin. One. Two, to purge your conscience from dead works and guilt and condemnation so that you can serve the living God. Now, Satan knows that if you don't know that, and he says, okay, use it for the expressway, and use it for your car, and then use it for your house. The blood, you know, our brethren, you know, and I say that jokingly, you know, not because I'm looking down on them, but because I'm trying to trigger an awareness in them that it's a wrong application. You know, and use the blood for that. He knows it's not going to work. How many people have bled the blood and died? Like Kenneth Copeland said many years ago, the graveyards are full of them. It's the wrong use of the blood. I use the blood and it worked. In God's sovereignty and mercy, but it's still wrong application, because the truth is not your experience, it's the word. The truth is never what you experienced, it's what the word says. Thy word is truth. So he sold us a dummy, you know, gave us something else to be, you know, because he knows as once you understand this one and your conscience is clear, then you have access to the life and the power of God. It is the life and power of God which you now have access through the blood of Jesus, that you now speak throughout your mouth by the spoken word and praying in tongues, that releases the power that gives you the protection. It's not the blood that gives you the protection directly. It does. But it's the sequence of events. It's when the blood cleanses you, then you have access to life and power. It is the life and power you have access to, which when you speak the word and you pray in tongues, that releases the power that the angels will now use to protect you. I just gave you an example of the answer to the prayer in Colossians 1, verse 9. Spiritual understanding. That I do not cease to pray with you, that I may be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom. And that's what I've just given you. Incidentally, I was sharing this with Pastor Andrew. I think it was either today or yesterday. You know, the Pauline prayers are indispensable. Did you hear me? Indispensable. The reason why the church hasn't grown beyond a particular level is that majority of the church are ignorant of the Pauline prayers, and whether they know them, they don't pray them for themselves personally. If you really want to grow, you have to pray the revelation prayers from Ephesians 1 and the other ones, Colossians 1, Philippians 1, First Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians, then the Ephesians 3 prayer, which asks for strength in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. And I was sharing this with Pastor Andrew. Do you realize the Ephesians 3 prayer, let me just say what it says, that you might strengthen with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, that you become more rooted and grounded in love, that you be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth, length, depth, and height? Of course, it has to be the body of Christ, because it's saints. You know, that you might know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The purpose of that Pauline prayer is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So if you start praying those two prayers, Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, is going to lead you to life scriptures. Why? Because it's through life scriptures you can be filled. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This prayer alone will help to some degree, but you can't do it alone. That's what I experienced. I, Olubi Johnson, by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, I'd been praying these prayers for, I got born again in 79, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit in November 79, then came to Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon teachings, you know, and through Kenneth Hagin, let's give Kenneth Hagin another clap offering, hallelujah. You know, I started praying the Pauline prayers, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. Looking back now, I was praying the Ephesians 3 prayer, but not, I didn't major it like I majored the Ephesians 1 prayer, because the Ephesians 1 prayer was one that Kenneth Hagin majored. But I was doing it because Kenneth Copeland emphasized it. Yes. I actually went today to go and do a check. So he has this letter he sends us to his partners every, he sends it to them, you know, once in a month or something like that. I'm a partner, you know, because they're one of my spiritual fathers. So I send offerings to them every month. And I have it here. I'm going to read it to you. I saved it onto my phone. It's, Lord have mercy on us. Yeah, there we go. There we go. There we go. Kenneth Copeland's partner prayer. Here's a list of the scriptures. Brother Copeland prays for his partners every day. This is where I got it from. I'm talking about 1980, 81. Let me give them to you. Psalm 23, Psalm 91, Psalm 103, Psalm 118, like scriptures. Isaiah 54, Ephesians 1, 16 to 23, Ephesians 3, 14 to 20, Colossians 1, 9 to 11, 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 to 23, Romans 15 to 13, Romans 15, 29, Psalm 112, Zechariah, all our life scriptures, practically. It's a road. It's a path. You get off that path, you know, scripture says, from which some having swerved unto vain jangling, you will just start roaming around. You won't know where you're going. Love. Ephesians 3, that my real and grand love, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, as exemplified in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's no other road, though. Stop wasting your time. Then you start with honesty, humility of heart, love, then Ephesians 1, then Ephesians 3, and some of the other scriptures, then tongues. Tongues will not be effective if those other ones don't precede them. Because it is building up yourself on your most holy faith. So if that foundation of the word is not there, your tongues is empty. Oh, it's tinkling cymbal. Like you say, if I speak in tongues, I don't have love. But where does love come from? Love is keeping the commandments. What is the commandment? It's life. Oh. It's all possible. So when people criticize people like Kenneth Copeland, I just laugh. Let me tell you something. I don't know him personally, at least not yet. I met Kenneth Hagin twice, but I never got to know him personally. I never got to know any of them personally. You know, they've made mistakes. Who hasn't? Who has not? Stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. It didn't say if they are good or they are bad. Sure, they've made mistakes. What should you do? Pray for them. Thank God for these men. In spite of the mistakes, and it's not them majorly, it's a lot of their disciples. There was an overemphasis on prosperity and material. There's no doubt about that. Those mistakes were made. But it doesn't do away with the reality of the base. After all, I came from there. So they must have done something good. And you know, after Biden won in the last elections, you know, most of the brethren in America were all voting for Trump. And then prophesied, you know, I don't know if Kenneth Copeland prophesied it was Trump. He probably did, but I'm not sure. You know, I like Kenneth Copeland. He made mistakes. He did. But you know what he did? One of his newsletters, he said, I didn't vote for Biden. He said, I voted for Trump. He said, but now he's president. He said, the Bible says I must walk in love. You see, because of these foundations, rooted and it brought him back. He said, so we must pray for him. He's the president. He said, I don't agree with a lot of things that he does, you know, and says, but he's president. And the Bible says we should pray for kings and for that in authority. And he says, our prayers will not work if we don't walk in love, even towards the Democrats. Truth. And he said that publicly. It was one of his newsletters I saw. I said, that's Copeland for you. So whatever mistakes they may have made, or are even still making, if they continue on this path, it's going to bring them back. It's like, I gave that illustration some months ago. You know, the navigator in your car. Do you understand? Even if you take the wrong turning, so long as you are plugged into power, do you understand? And you keep obeying the navigator, it may take you a longer time. It may take you through a detour, but you still arrive at the destination. They're going to be all right. You can't pray these Pauline prayers with an honest and sincere heart and pray in tongues and walk in love and not you'll be corrected. That's why I give that example of Joe Biden. You know, hey, yeah, sure, they've said things they shouldn't have said. They prophesied things they shouldn't have prophesied. Ah, so that's all right. I mean, it's not all right, but, you know, God is good. Another thing I just need to mention as I go into the message for today, you know, is this issue of, it's part of the Ephesians 4:3 prayer, powerful prayer, that we might know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. That's what I've just demonstrated to you now towards my attitude and my love towards Kenneth Copeland and the Hagen Ministries and all. Yes, they've made mistake. But do you know that Christ showed love to the Samaritan woman in spite of his knowledge of her sins? He was very aware that she was living in an adulterous relationship and she had had 5 husbands. But that didn't stop God from moving. When you become rooted and grounded in love and you're able to comprehend, that is, you understand their weaknesses, you understand their spiritual levels of growth, you will love them like God loves them in spite of them. That is a level of growth majority of the church has never grown to. Once you see something bad in somebody and they say something wrong and all that, you just condemn them, you cut them off and all of that. And then you're cutting off part of your own supply without knowing it because you're a part of the body. It's a lack of understanding. It's a lack of understanding. Because you see, walking in love and loving your brethren is actually enlightened self-interest. Because if it is well with them, it's well with you. If one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer. If one is edified, everybody is edified. So it pays you to help them. Only one amen. Thank God for Pastor Buega. It was only Pastor Buega who was saying, who was praying yesterday. All the others were just looking. Okay. Okay. Now let's get back to... So we're studying Jesus in Matthew chapter 15. And in our last lesson, we stopped... Where in the world do we stop? We stopped in verse 19. So the reason why we're studying Jesus is to see how he grew and then how he operated the Spirit without measure so that we ourselves can duplicate the same in our own lives. That's the purpose, you know. It bears repetition to say this because I haven't said this for some months since I've been away. And it is this. There's a quantum leap between how Jesus operated and what we see in the Acts of the Apostles. Quantum. And God recorded it like that deliberately. The 4 Gospels stand alone. The Acts of the Apostles are very good too. Do you understand? But one was with Spirit without measure. The other one was Spirit with measure and the gifts of the Spirit. For instance, we have only about 3 or 4, I don't even know up to 3, of people being raised from the dead. Dorcas. Then Paul raised that boy, you know, Elymas, what's his name? Eh? Eutychus, you know, from the dead. In the ministry of Jesus, that was normal. Exemplified by Jairus' daughter, the son of the widow of Nain, and finally Lazarus. You don't see anything even remotely close to it. Then we're going to see this tonight. You see Jesus, you see a little bit of that in the Acts of the Apostles. You see Peter's shadow healing people on the streets of Jerusalem. Thank God for that. You see Paul, you know, in Ephesus. The Bible says, you know, special miracles were wrought by him. Thank God. But they were special cases. But in Jesus' ministry, it's normal. Virtue went out of him and healed them all. Not once, not twice, not three times. So we know that there's a difference between the measure of the Holy Spirit that was being operated in the Acts of the Apostles and that was operating in the ministry of Jesus. Now, we, the end time church, our job is to do two things. Number one, and I'm going to talk about this in my New Year message. In this 2024, into some of 2025, we are to see a restoration of the gifts of the Spirit. It's been they're there, but most of it is corrupted. I'll talk about that, you know. Most of it is corrupted and you know, because of greed, covetousness, and not walking in love. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "You want the gifts of the Spirit?" This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. You know, he said, "Desire earnestly the best gifts, and I show you a more excellent way." The church has neglected that way. Because the church has not majored on love. How many places have you ever heard of them talking about perfecting the love of God? Nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to do it anyway. Yeah. And God told me, he said, one of the things is going to show up that you know that you're on the road to being ready is when you start seeing more of the gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. So we'll first of all see a little bit of what was in the Acts of the Apostles before we now see what was in the ministry of Jesus. I just told you the New Year message in a brief something. So this 2024, you're going to perfect love. And you're going to start having more of the gifts of the Spirit in your life, especially prophecy. He said, covet to prophesy. Why? Revelation comes through prophecy. And then it would make you know, God is dealing with me. That's what happened to me as a young Christian. In my first few months, I started prophesying. Tongues and interpretation. Me and Mrs. Porter and Pastor Porter. And I knew they didn't, it was God. Because these are the things they were prophesying, they themselves didn't preach it. So I knew it was God talking to me. Prophecy. It's almost disappeared. Mommy will tell you. Mommy Sarah. When Mom Sarah got born again in 1983 in IVCU, there was hardly a meeting there wouldn't be a prophetic word. Not the preacher. You know, maybe during the worship or somebody. So one of the brethren would get up and give powerful prophetic word. It disappeared. 84, 85, 86. Because covetousness. This, and Pa Elton warned us. Pa Elton warned us. I can never forget. I would go to Elisha to go and see Pa Elton. He said, this prosperity message, and the first prosperity message I ever heard was from Pa Elton. He said, you can never forget. He said, God's will is prosperity. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, 9, 8. I can never forget it. It's stuck. You know? And he said, but this prosperity, he says, it's going to destroy the church in the years to come. Sadly, it has. And what happened was that the gifts of the Spirit, the little that we had, the prophecy, a little bit of revelation gifts, the word of knowledge, gifts of healings, they dried up. And then you know what? Satan now substituted counterfeit. So a lot of what we're seeing today is corrupted gifts. And it's always with money. Hey, I'm a one break Christmas breakthrough. Prof is laughing. You don't want Christmas breakthrough. If you want, you know, but it's not like that. Oh, you know, how many we can give 1 million? Then all of you will stand on those steps at the back. Or this one here, you know, the people who give 1 million, 5 will stand here. Those people, they do it. And you know what? They do get the money. They get the money. Because they are corrupted gifts. Satan has now come in and taken and you know, corrupted the gifts. All that is going to stop. You know, and then the genuine gifts are going to start being restored. But only to those who are walking in love. And there will be a distinction between them and the corrupted ones. And everybody will see the difference. Then gradually we'll see more and more of the gifts of Spirit, more and more of the gifts of Spirit, until finally we enter in the fullness of Christ and then we get the Spirit out measure. So that's the pathway. Well, you've heard half of the New Year message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not talking to anybody here. Okay. So, here we go. Verse 19 of Ephesians. Sorry. We love Ephesians so much. Matthew 15. So we're looking at the ministry of Jesus, and we're seeing the reason for this is to study how did he operate the Spirit without measure and see its operation that will give us faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, you know, so that and inspiration, so that we can, you know, will be inspired to go to that goal. So in verse 19, you know, in our last lesson, we looked at what defiles you is not some physical thing, whether you wash your hand or you don't wash your hand, whether you put on scarf or you don't put on scarf, you know, whether you wear a particular kind of dress or you don't wear, all those physical, that's legalism. Jesus said, that's not what defiles them. I said, what's inside the heart? And he made this distinction, in which I talked about on Sunday. These are spiritual forces. What we call the lusts of the flesh. For out of the heart, verse 19, proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blood. All these things are actions, but their origin are spiritual forces because they come out from the heart. So the way you overcome them is also by spiritual forces. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. You don't overcome them by physical action. So whether you put the women in the church on this side and you put the men on that side, yeah, and whether the women, you know, wear hats and you know, they you only see their eyes and they put on a black, am I talking to somebody? you know, and you're, all that won't change lust. That's why you find the people who are religious and they do all of those things, you find some of the worst sins you find amongst them. Because it's spiritual. But if you now start teaching them how to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to release the power of God, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, they will begin to crucify those lusts of the flesh, you know, and then change their thinking and their action. It's very important. The church has got it upside down. You know, the cart's before the horse. You don't make people more holy by washing of hands or by wearing a particular type of dress or by sitting in a particular place. All the men sit here. All the women. You know, in some churches, they still practice that. You know, all kinds of legalistic rules. No set of human rules can tame the sin nature. Only the blood of Jesus that removes its block and the guilty conscience, the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't do that, you're going around in circles. You may look good to other people, but you know, Jesus said, you outwardly appear good to people. He said, but inward you're full of ravening, you know, and dead men's bones. Nothing has changed. You still have a strong Pharisaic spirit in the church today, even among Word of Faith people. You know, we all have our own little rules and all of that. You know, you must wear a particular kind of bunny on your head. You must do this, you must do that. You know, otherwise you're not holy. So he said, these are the things that defile a man. Verse 20. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Verse 21. Then Jesus went hence. I didn't hear you. That is, he left the place. This old English. And departing the coast of Tyre and Sidon. You know, I forgot to do it today. I should have, you know, asked them to do it. I'm going to work with us. There's a software I hear have that can take what is on my computer and put it on the screen. So link it up, you know, but not now, not today. You know, so I'll send it to you and then you put it. And so what I'm looking at here, you see it on the screen. But let me just tell you, Tyre and Sidon was on the Mediterranean coast, northwest of Galilee. Galilee, you know, was where Jesus grew up, and that's where he operated mostly. If you look at the Sea of Galilee, you find about three or four cities that were coastal cities. That is, they were on the sea. Not on the sea, but, you know, they were next to the sea. Capernaum, Bethsaida, I think. Magala, you know, Chorazin. In fact, I'm looking at the map right now as I'm talking to you. Let me just, yeah, I can see them. So I'm not guessing. Yes, Bethsaida, Capernaum, Gennesaret, Magala. When you say Mary Magdalene, she came from Magala. Tiberias. Cana is a little bit to the west, so it's not close to the sea. Nazareth is a little bit to the southwest, so it's not as close to the sea. Nain is further south. But these ones, Capernaum, Bethsaida, Gennesaret, Magala, Tiberias, you know, and Gergesa, well, even Gadara, you know, well, you have to move a little bit out, you know, to the east, you know, to get to Gadara. And it's good to have these things at the back of it. You see, when you read the Bible, just read it, you know. So Tyre and Sidon is all right up there. It's close to modern-day Lebanon. Tyre and Sidon, you know. So the Bible says Jesus went there. Isn't God kind? You know, he wasn't supposed to. He said, in the way of the Gentiles, you go. But he went. He went. He went there. Because there were people there who needed him, you see. So he went and divined the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, I didn't hear you. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the desert, with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She crieth after us. Then he made them understand why he was doing what he was doing. Not because, I just got a tweet from heaven. Not because he didn't love the woman, but his ministry had a mandate. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I've been reading this for years. I mean, I read the Bible so many times by the grace and the mercy of God. Do you know that's why I went to Tyre and Sidon? There were Israelites there. So he went to go and reach them. Because you see, that's why the lost sheep of the house of Israel, you know, they were scattered all over the Roman Empire. So there were people there. So he went there for them. But this woman keyed in her faith. Then she came and worshipped him. I didn't hear you. Then came she and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet or proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her and all Gentiles, including you, a dog. Hello, somebody. You still love Jesus? You know, people don't realize this. Jesus was totally Jewish. He grew up a Jew. He grew up in the synagogue. He understood the traditions and all the things, you know. And the same, I don't know if I can call it prejudices. Jesus didn't have any prejudice because he had wisdom and all of that. But you know, he said what he said amongst the Jews. Gentiles are dogs. And there's a reason why, Pastor G. Dogs eat anything. I'm sure we all know that. Gentiles eat anything.
Bokoto. Shaki. Abodi. Need I say more? I was about to say dogs, but I won't say that. You are born again now. Seriously, we eat junk. Number two, dogs are sexually promiscuous. When they are on heat, a dog can climb his mother. It's just the passion of the moment. They are led by the feeling for sex and not by moral law. That is why the Jews call the Gentiles dogs. And that's why, and God warned them. It's not their fault. It's God who told them. Go to the Old Testament. He said, when you enter the land, he said, don't mix with them, or else they will teach you their ways. You start eating rubbish. A body. I couldn't afford that. Shack. It's not, bring it down, bring it down. You know, it's not wrong to eat those things. In the New Testament, they're sanctified. You pray, you know. But there's a reason why God said all of those things. Because, you know, like for example, pigs and the internal something, you know, those are places where all the waste of the goat or the... Now, I know with modern science, this is a vet professor here, you know, you can clean it and clean it well. But back in those days, they couldn't do that. So God said, don't eat it. Otherwise, you're going to pick up a lot of impurities. God's smart. Hello? God's smart. So you can eat, but not that, not those parts that contain all the waste matter and all of that. And that's what we call the delicacies. Abod is the thing where the thing comes out from. Well, no, I didn't say that. Even me, I eat shaki sometimes. You know, but I pray over it. So if you pray over it, I say sanctified by the word of God on prayer. But I don't make that my habit. I eat fish, chicken, white meat as a habit. Then I can eat these other things occasionally once in a while. So I don't pick up the dirt of the Gentiles. I'm already trying to clean out the sin nature. Why add to it? Come on. I'm not talking to anybody here. You know, and of course, we know Gentiles are sexually go to America today or England. It's amazing. They don't even think about it. I said this on Sunday. You know, having sex like playing tennis. They just think it as, you know, it's just fun. You know, just, you know. And that's why I'm not going to get political, but I will mention it. And then I'll do it with a balance. That is why they want this law of abortion. So there's no restriction. A woman can sleep with anybody. People meet people in clubs overnight. You don't know her. You don't know her background. You speak to her, she agrees, take her to your hotel and you sleep with her. Come on. You want to kill yourself? That's true. It's normal there. And here, it's getting here too. Pastor Quigga. Remember Ife. Don't let me go there. I'll put Pastor Quigga into trouble. Amen. When I was in university, I'm as far back as then. You know. I mean, remember, UI was sane. Ife was mad. In UI, you could not go to Queen's Hall after 10 o'clock. In Ife, you can sleep in Moremi Hall. Then how do you know? I did it. You can actually sleep overnight there. Nobody's going to question you. You see boys walking into Moremi Hall at 2 a.m. in the morning. Pastor, you're here. You know, promiscuity, no law, nothing, you know. So, God is trying to use the Republicans to bring a balance. Now, you mustn't go to the other extreme. Say, oh, if a woman is raped
or incest, she can have the abortion. Or if her life is threatened, or the life of the baby, go ahead and have the abortion. But it shouldn't just be a blank check that, you know, my body is my own. I can do what I like. So I can sleep with anybody I like. Then tomorrow, if I get pregnant, I'm just going to have an abortion. That's murder. Amen. Stop it. Amen. That's the balance. So that is why Jesus called the Gentiles dogs. It's not an abuse. It's a fact. You know, he is the truth. He never said anything that was not truth. And the woman was not offended. The smart woman, she was not offended because he was saying the truth. And she said, truth, Lord. Pastor Gene, how do you like that? Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Oh, hallelujah. I love, it's one of my favorite passages in the Gospels. Then just answer unto her, oh woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you as thou wilt. Gentile, he was not sent to her. She was sent to the lordship of the house of Israel. But because by faith, she reached across dispensations. She tasted of the powers of the age that would come from the resurrection of Christ by faith. So we can do now. You can use faith now to step into the millennial reign and bring millennial blessings today. He that can receive it, let him receive it. He that cannot receive it, let him chew on it. She reached across, you know, generally, she reached across dispensational lines. And she got it. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Instant. Now, I want to say a little bit about this great faith. I would say great faith. I didn't hear you. How do you create great faith? The other person God Jesus talked about great faith was the centurion. Remember? Another Gentile. Who outstripped the Israelites in faith. He said, I have never found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Why? They had revelation. How? Their conscience. Because they were people who were obeying conscience. God was able to enlighten their understanding. So they saw, watch this, a natural analog of a spiritual truth. Yes, you don't give the bread to the dogs, but the crumb, yeah, but that happens, everybody knows that. So it's all right. So she got it. Revelation. Let me say, I was sharing this with Pastor Andrew today. Do you understand, dearly beloved? You know, that Gentiles who are not yet born again, God talks to them. You see, we high and mighty Christians think that we have a monopoly on God. You will be amazed. Like Jesus was amazed. He said, and Jesus, thank you. And Jesus marveled. He marveled and said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Including Peter, James, and John. Because Jesus doesn't exaggerate. Hello? The question is, how did he get it? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, but he wasn't going to the synagogue. He's a Gentile. So how did he get the faith? Romans chapter 2. Romans, who's still on my side? Romans, let's look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 20. Let's read verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. Thy word is truth. So they have the word of God inside them. Talking about unbelievers in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for who? God has showed it to them. This is not only true of the centurion or the Syrophoenician. He was doing it for everybody. Majority were rejecting it. For God, who showed it to them? God. How? Through their conscience. Father, now he shows them, he shows us how God reveals it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. Not obscurely, clearly. I was asking Hannah Ruth the other day, because she's practicing and preparing for medical school, and, you know, anatomy, physiology, and biochemistry. You see, I had a lot of friends who were medical students when I was in school, you know, when I was in UI. So I learned a lot of things. So I said, how's your biochemistry? I said, it was Krebs cycle. You know. Now, when you look at the natural world, you cannot but marvel at the wisdom of the Creator. Krebs cycle, carbon cycle, water cycle. Everything works with such synchrony and harmony. And you tell me it evolved? You're a fool. That's not an insult. It's a fact. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because the invisible things are clearly seen. So you are without excuse. You can't say there is no God. You know, when we're worshiping and Sister Bidemi was singing beautifully, you know, awesome God. See, when I'm singing those songs, I'm not just singing a song. I'm thinking, man is awesome. The words of the heavens. So when I say awesome God, I'm in my at the back of my mind, I'm thinking about the heavens. Ah, Pastor G. Pastor G. God is awesome. Look at this earth. Then we are just one tiny planet in this solar system. Then you got billions of suns in our Milky Way galaxy alone. That's 100 billion. Then you have billions of galaxies. Watch this. In the observable universe. That's the one you can see. They're the ones you cannot see. Any thinking man, any honest man has to come to the conclusion. May I qualify that statement? The inescapable conclusion that there is a God out there. And he gives evidence of himself. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The other thing I was thinking about was the biochemistry of the physical body. Then DNA. DNA is a computer program. They use it in courts of law. No two human beings have the same DNA. And what is it? It's a collection of chemical elements. C, T, G, and A. I don't remember all their names. Not important. You know? And so what happens is that just like you have a computer code, the computer code uses 1 and 0. So if you want to write something, the computer does not see what you write. What you write is converted into 1s and 0s. So it will be 1001000, and that may be, you know, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. You understand? But if you see it in the computer, we call it machine language. You know, it's a bunch of 1s and 0s. You need an interpreter. You need a central processing unit to take that digital form and then he will do some work on it with an arithmetic and logic unit and then, you know, push it out. But the important thing is this. So what God did with DNA is this. Olubi's DNA, I'm just using an illustration, is C, T, G, 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 A, G, G, G. And you know what? The thing has comma. It has comma. Abi? Prof. It has a stop codon. So it's C, T, T, G, A, C, T, 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 G, A, C, T, T, that's Olubi's zone. Then, Kaode's zone is C, T, T, G, 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 A, 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 each unique. I'm going to blow your mind. And all of them is 3 billion lines of code. I didn't say 5. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 100. I didn't say 1,000. 3 billion lines of code. Those of us who did computer science, you know, my major was physics, but we did a lot of computer, you know. I know what it is when you are writing code. You know, by the time you write 20 lines, your head will start paining you. Hello, somebody. You know, not talk of 3 billion. In each cell. Awesome God.
Now you understand what you are singing. God is truly awesome.
Are you listening to me?
At the astronomical level, he's awesome. At the quantum microscopic level, he's awesome. That's why you have to honor him.
The second place where God speaks to them, we're talking about Gentiles, is in, who's still on my side? Okay. Oh, Jesus help us. Is it chapter 2? Same Romans. Incidentally, these were the scriptures that I got born again on. I read in these scriptures in Ecom as a youth copper. And I said, he has caught me. That scripture, they have no excuse, jumped out at me. Olubi, you have no excuse. So I knelt down and I gave my life to Christ.
Romans chapter 2, and look at verses 14 to 15. For when the Gentiles, that's your grandfather, your great-grandfather, or your people in your family that are not yet born again,
which have not the law, do by nature the things that are contained in the law. Have you met unbelievers like that?
I've met many of them. Nice, kind, considerate. Hello? They even exhibit more of the fruit of the Spirit than some Christians. They are what Jesus calls sheep not yet of this fold. They don't have the law, but the law is there. Who put it there?
Do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not a law, are a law unto themselves. Verse 15. Which show the work of the law written where?
Who wrote it there? God. God wrote it there.
So even unbelievers who are not born again, like this Syrophoenician woman, like the centurion, had the law written. That's how they had faith. Because faith can only come by the word of God. So it was God who wrote it in their conscience. That I also am a man under authority. I said to this one, come and he comes. I said to this one, go and he comes. He said, you don't need to come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He used a natural illustration to explain his spiritual truth. And Jesus gave him A++. I have never found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And if you want to develop great faith, that's the same way. By revelation, God will show you things in the natural that have a spiritual analog. And once you understand them, it's very easy for you to operate in faith. Hello? Okay, let's go to verse 20. See how far we can go. We're going to close soon. Yes. Let's go back to Matthew 15. You're still on my side? Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Verse 29, 30, 30, and 31. And Jesus departed from thence. Thence where? Tyre and Sidon, which was up northeast. It's quite a distance. In those days, it probably took him a day, you know. And came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. That's going to be Capernaum, Tiberias, all those places I read to you. Magala, you know, all of Bethsaida, all of them. You know. And went up onto a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes. Everybody scream, great multitudes.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you.
This is 15 to 20,000 people, if not more. Came unto him.
I didn't hear you.
Having with them that were lame, blind. Oh, our day is coming. Anytime I see scriptures, I am challenged. I say, ah, God, have mercy on us. Help us to get this. So we can be, not to show off, so we can be a blessing to humanity. Look at all the people suffering. And you have the power, I have the power to set them free. Jesus said, the works I do, you will do, and greater. What are you doing just warming a seat in church? Supposed to be growing spiritually. Using the blood, the word, and the spirit to grow. Then start with the gifts of the spirit. Then from there, move to the spirit without measure.
Set men free. And cast them down at Jesus' feet.
And he what? Healed them. If you go to some of the others and it says, heal them all. Insomuch, I didn't hear you, that the multitude wondered. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. This is what we should be doing, folks. This is what we are destined to do. See, all this argument about Christianity will stop when you're doing this. If the son of the prime minister gets healed, he will allow the gospel to preach in any way. Whether he's Muslim or not, whether he's Saudi Arabia or Iran, he'll forget all that. This is where we're... Why is God... Why isn't it recorded to inspire us? He said that through the patience and faith of scriptures, we might have hope. That's why it's written. So God is telling you, you are to do this too. It's not just Jesus. Let's close with the last portion. Then Jesus called his disciples... Verse 32. Who's still on my side? Then Jesus called his disciples and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint. By the way, how considerate God is. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Very considerate. They had been with him. They brought food, but the food has finished. So, they start going home like this. They haven't eaten. They will faint, by the way. Let's feed them. This is the second one. You know, he did the 5,000. This is not the 5,000. This is another one. You don't see anything like this in the Acts of the Apostles. And his disciples say unto him, I didn't hear you. Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Now, even if we have the money, see, and they had money. That's why Judas could steal from the bag and nobody would notice. They had plenty of money. But there was nowhere to buy food. They're in the wilderness place. There's no, even if you have the money, you know. Next verse. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and fishes and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples. And the disciples to the multitude of watch order. You don't just go to Jesus and everybody rushing him for food like we would do. If you don't sit down, you don't get food. You sit down. Then the 12 and the 70 come to him. And you distribute, then they'll go and give to the people. Only the people who sat down got food. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat or food that was left seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. So you're looking at, just multiply the four, looking at 12,000, 15,000, 20,000. We need to do that, Pastor G. Then all this argument about whether there's God or there's no God, whether there's Christianity, there's no argument. Like one great prophecy said, I'm probably going to review that prophecy, maybe some of it during the New Year message, if God allows me, by Jane Lead. It was done in 1679. It said, the settling of all controversies. And he sent away the multitude and took ship or boat. It was not big ships like today, it was boats. And came to the coast of Magala. All of it was on the coast. Brethren, let me say it the way the Bible says it in one place. What then shall we say to these things? What are you going to do? You're going to keep playing church? Are you going to go for gold? Stand to your feet. Go for gold. Won't get there overnight. But let's start perfecting the love of God. Walking love. The love of Christ is greater than knowledge. Then we start seeing the restoration of the gifts of the Spirit in a more excellent way. Then gradually, we'll come to the Spirit without measure. We'll set men free. We'll give glory to God. Let's give glory to God. What's the point? Christianity isn't just, you know, the Lord Jesus heals the multitudes by the power of the Spirit without measure. He feeds them also by the Spirit without measure. The song I have in my heart, bid him, I just want to be where you are. I'm not there yet, but that's where I'm going.
I just want to be where you are.
Hallelujah.
Dwelling daily
in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar.
I don't want to worship from afar.
Draw me near.
Draw me near to where.
See, where he is where the Spirit without measure is. That's where you're going. You're not there yet, but start moving there. Your dwelling place.
In your dwelling place. In your dwelling place forever.
Take me to the place. Hallelujah.
Take me to the place where you are.
'Cause I just want to be.
Hallelujah.
I just want to be with you.
What a word.
I want to be where you are.
Dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your table.
Feasting at your table.
Surrounded by your glory.
Surrounded by your glory.
In your presence.
In your presence.
Oh, what a word.
Where I always want to be.
I just want to be.
I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
I just want to be where you are.
I just want to be where you are.
What a prayer.
In your dwelling place.
In your dwelling place forever.
Take me to the place.
Hallelujah.
The place where you are. I just want to be with you.
Oh, sing it. Hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, sing it. Pity me.
You are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence. Though I'm weak, you're always strong.
I just want to be
where you are.
In your dwelling place.
In your dwelling place.
Permanently. Permanently. Forever. Take me to the place. Hallelujah.
Take me to the place where you are.
Want to be with you. I want to be
where you are.
Dwelling in your presence.
Feasting at your table.
Feasting at your table.
Surrounded by your glory.
Surrounded by your glory.
In your presence.
In your presence.
That's where I always want to be.
Where I always want to be.
I just want to be.
I just want to be.
Yes.
I just want to be with you.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. These are the prayers God expects His saints to be praying. Don't be satisfied with the ordinary and the mundane. Don't be satisfied with the physical and the material alone. See, that's where I want to go. Where Jesus is. As He is, so am I. Not when I get to heaven, in this world. I want to be where He is. Where the spirit of the without measure is. So that I can glorify His name. I can be a blessing to humanity. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. And I determine afresh to come to where You are. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to overcome the inertia of the flesh that hinders me from drawing close to You. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to daily pray for more humility so that I'll have more grace and mercy, for more of the fruit of the Spirit, for more of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, for more of Christ's strength in my inner man, so that Christ would dwell more in my heart by faith, that I become more rooted and grounded in love, that I'll be able to comprehend more with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the body of Christ, to know more the love of Christ, who is greater than knowledge, that ultimately, Lord, I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Thank You for giving us a roadmap. You have not hidden it from us. You've given us a roadmap of how to get there. And I will not get off this road. I will stay on this road until I get to where You are. In Jesus' name. Father, thank You. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, thank You for Your blood. Your life, your power, in and upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure, in this regard, in Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, the word has gone out. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from it. It's in the air, the power to heal you. So just raise your hand wherever you are. Stretch. If you're at home, stretch it towards your device. Father, I release the healing power that is in Your word into the physical bodies of these people whose hands are raised in faith. Say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. We come against the spirit of infirmity, of fear, doubt, of unbelief, of oppression and depression. We cast you out from their souls, bodies, and circumstances. Destroy your works therein. Resist, and we bind you in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God, the seven spirits of God, to minister healing and deliverance unto them in Jesus' name. And Father, Your word says, is any sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, as they have done by raising up their hands. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. We remit and forgive the sins of anybody whose hand is raised up here now to receive healing in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive Your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure.